Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Looking at the message this morning, what I want to share. First, ask a question. What are the attributes of God? If we were to think of what God is, who God is, what he stands for, what are some of the attributes that we know that God is? We know that God is all-powerful, right? One of his attributes. We also know that God is all-knowing, correct? God's omnipresent. But what other attributes does God have that affects our life every day? Anybody? Long-suffering.
Love.
Merciful. Excellent. Some others.
He is
Say it again.
He is
immutable. Amen. Another one I heard over here.
Faithfulness.
We could go on quite a bit. Somebody have some others? Long-suffering. Many attributes of God that affects our everyday. The one that I want to talk about this morning is compassion. In fact, the message I've called compassion, a driving force of the church. Look at all the attributes of God. I want to look at this one here this morning. Question, though, is there a difference between the attributes of God and the attributes of Jesus? Is there any difference between the two? I had to think about that one for a minute. Exactly. That's where I ended up. No. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit all have the exact same attributes. No difference between them. Now, I want to look at a story this morning in Luke 7. Kind of cutting in here, this is where Jesus had been going through different areas, different lands, and he comes up to the centurion soldier, or actually doesn't come up to the centurion soldier. He sends people there for a healing of a servant that's very sick, sick unto death. And Jesus has a conversation there with him about the authority. And I want to kind of cut in just immediately after this thing where Jesus looks at this centurion and says, I've never found so great a faith in Israel. And then his servant was healed, made whole. Verse 11, it says, and it came to pass the after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much of the people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or that's the coffin. And they that bare him stood still and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. That's quite a scenario, and I'm looking at this story. Here comes Jesus coming through, and there's all these people there. They're at a funeral, carrying out this dead body. And the Lord sees this lady there. She was the mother of this child. She was a widow. So basically, there's nothing left for family after this. And Jesus walks up, and he tells the young man, he says, rise, and comes back to life. Let me ask a question. What was the driving force of why Jesus did that miracle? Why did he do that? We know he did it, one, to show, he came down to earth to show who God was, who he was. It's also love. But it says in here that he had compassion on her. He saw what she was going through. He saw the weeping on her, and he had compassion. Now, I want to ask a question. Is compassion any different than love? Or are they the same thing? If we look at the word love, basically, according to the Bible, we know that there's like four different kinds of love. We have the friendship, brotherly type love. We have a natural family type love. We have the selfless, unconditional love. And there's also a romantic kind of love, right? So we have different loves. Now, we can love things in different ways. For instance, I love coffee, okay? One of the things I really love is coffee. Now, I also love my brother Wes. But I don't love Wes the same way I love my coffee, okay? I have sitting out here, several of my children are here. Some of them aren't, but I love my children very much. But the love that I have for my children is different than the love that I have for Wes. Sorry, Wes. But at least you know that I love you more than I love my coffee, right? Okay. And my wife is also sitting out here, and I love her too. But I love her in a completely different way than I love all those other things, okay? So love has different dimensions, okay? Love is an emotion, feeling that we have inside. Love is also very complex, isn't it? Love, the feelings of affection and care. Love ranges from very light all the way up to very, very deep and strong love. Love is specific and personal to I feel, to the way I feel, me and me alone. How I love a person, in other words, I can love a person and they not love me. Kind of see how love works? Now, compassion has just basically, I can find one Greek word, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because it's a long one and the letters didn't even make sense to me, but compassion is a deep felt sympathy or a pity that moves on behalf of somebody else. Okay? Compassion is when I care about another person. I can love them, but compassion is a little bit different word. Compassion is how I feel about that other person, how much I understand that person's needs, how much I understand that person where they're at in their situation. Okay? Compassion does what love can't. Give an example. Many years ago, I was going through a situation in my life that was just wearing me out. It was just wearing me down. It affected everything. It affected my sleep. I couldn't sleep at night. I was up many nights praying. It affected my work. It affected my relationship with my family. It affected the relationship with my wife. This thing was just tearing me apart. I was talking to a brother one day, and he was asking questions. I was sharing with him about how this thing's affecting me and how it's just affecting everything and how my heart felt. And basically, he was like, oh, that's too bad. What a bummer. You'll be okay. It didn't feel good inside. But about 6 months later, he had a trial come his way in his home that affected him in a way that he came to me and he said, Bill, he said, I can't sleep at night. He said, this affects my work. He said, this affects my life. It affects everything I do. Something's got to happen. What can we do? This has to change. You see, he was feeling what I was feeling inside. We love each other. There's no question we love each other. But compassion can feel what the other person's going through. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Compassion does what love doesn't. Love understands how I feel. Compassion understands how you feel. Compassion is when you have a deep emotional feelings of how the other person's feeling. It's understanding and hearing, comprehending what they're feeling and how they're going through. Compassion feels your pain, not mine. Okay? And God was so filled with compassion for mankind that he sent his only son to this earth here to seek and to save that which was lost. He looked down and he saw the rebellious hearts of people. He looked at mankind and said, I was sorry I even created them. He looked down at mankind and he saw the sins they were committing. He looked down, he saw the lack of understanding that man had of who God was and what they were doing. He looked on this earth and he saw the sickness going on there. And he sent his son Jesus to come down and not judge the earth, because the earth was already judged. But he came to have compassion and show compassion to this world. Jesus came to lead mankind to the cross and to save each and every one of us, even though we didn't deserve that. And when Jesus came down to bring that message of salvation to mankind, he did much more than that. When he came down upon this earth, he didn't just come down and want man to know, hey, you're wrong and I can save you. But as Jesus walked this earth over and over, he came and he saw the people that were sick and he healed them because he had compassion on them. He saw the people that were lame and couldn't walk and he healed them because he had compassion on them. He saw the ones that couldn't walk that were lame and the ones that were deaf, and he had compassion on them and he healed them. Look over, if you want, you can turn to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 29, Jesus again on his journeys, and it says in 29 that he departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain, and he sat there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Inasmuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes, because continue with me now 3 days, and I've had nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. You see, he was doing all this healing. Wouldn't that have been enough in one sense? You look at all the people, the multitudes were coming to him and coming to him, coming to him, and he was healing and he was teaching. And yet he said, no. He said, I have compassion on them. These people are hungry. They're going to faint. They won't make it home. It went deeper than even the miracles that he was doing, and he had compassion. He saw their needs, and he said, I want to feed them. We know the story of how he fed them, the miracles there. But he had compassion. Back up a little bit in chapter 14. Then Jesus heard. Let me interject here. This is the point when, in the story where John the Baptist, Herod had just had his birthday party for his daughter, and we ended up beheading John the Baptist, and Jesus had just gotten word of this. Now, he's been out talking to people, he's been healing, he's been doing things, and he gets word of this, and we're going to pick up right there. And it says, when Jesus heard of it, meaning the death of John the Baptist and that he was buried, he departed thence into a ship into a desert place. Now, I'm not sure how you read that, but as I looked at that, I just wondered. Remember, Jesus had feelings just like we did. And it's almost like he felt the pain of John the Baptist and he wanted to get away. He wanted some time alone. So, Jesus went, let me back up there. He gets into the ship in the desert place, and when the people had heard about it, they followed him on foot, and they came out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw the great multitudes, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You see, he could have easily dismissed himself from that situation, but he saw the people coming, and Jesus had compassion, and his compassion went out, and he said, okay, he did that. And then also, another thing too, the same thing. He had compassion on them needing food, and he fed the people again. Matthew 20, starting verse 29, and it says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy upon us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried all the more, saying, have mercy upon us, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, if you look again at the situation here, he's going through this, through Jericho here, and these two blind men are going, and what's the crowd and everybody else doing? They were just pushing them away, going, okay, stay to the side. Couldn't Jesus have easily passed on through and nobody would have questioned him on that? He could have just gone on and nobody would have thought twice that he neglected something, whatever. But Jesus stops, and he stands and goes, bring them up here, bring them to me. And as they bring them up there, he says, what are we having to do? And they said, we want our eyesight. And Jesus had compassion on them and restored their eyesight. He cared more about their needs than the needs that everybody else had around there, his own needs. Jesus had compassion on them, and they received their sight. Jesus always moved with compassion at the sight of people's sufferings. We see it through the scriptures over and over and over. When Jesus saw somebody suffering, when Jesus saw somebody who had a need, just being hungry, he had compassion, and he said, I want to help. I'll look at the book of Mark a little bit here. Here's another one. He was preaching near the synagogues, and there comes to him a leper beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed, and straightway charged him forthwith, saying, and said unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the cleansing for those things which Moses commanded. And I'll stop there. Point is, here comes a man with leprosy, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? Because of the suffering this man was going through, and he healed him of that leprosy. He wasn't doing it for fame. He says right in here, go ahead, don't tell anybody about this. It's not my name that needs to be known here, but go follow what you're supposed to follow. He was supposed to go over to the priest, and they were supposed to look at him and say, okay, this has been healed. But that wasn't the biggest part. The biggest part wasn't to show, look, I healed somebody, want the word. He had compassion on this man. He didn't matter that people knew who Jesus was. Look at this story here. Mark chapter 5. Jesus comes to the country of the Gadarenes, and he comes out of the ship, and this is where he's immediately met by the man that was in the tombs there. He had the unclean spirit in him, and he was dwelling there, and he was in chains. They tried cutting down, tried chaining him down, and he could break the chains loose, and he was cutting himself, and he was screaming in the night. And he sees Jesus afar off, and he runs over, and he worships Jesus. It says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that thou torment me not. Now, there's two things going on here. We have the evil spirits calling out to Jesus saying, hey, don't torment me. But we also have the man himself in his consciousness saying, I need some help, okay? So Jesus looks to the unclean spirits, and he tells them to come out, and he says, but what's your name? And they say, Legion, meaning there's very many of them. And then they say, hey, there's a bunch of pigs there. Can you toss us, cast us into those? The devil's asked that we cast into the pigs. And Jesus does that. And I'll pick up here in 14. It says, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the countryside, they went to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, that had the legion, sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were sore afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell upon him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They were explaining the story. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great the Lord hath done and had compassion on thee. So we look, here's another story where Jesus is saying, look at how I have compassion here. Everything that Jesus did had compassion in it. How many here have heard the story about Charlie Brown? I see you smiling. Charlie Brown was a pilot, U.S. pilot during World War II. Okay, that was his actual name, all right? And it was December 20th, 1943. He flew with a U.S. bombing run. They had several B-17 bombers that flew a run over in Bremen, Germany, is where they're flying to. And they considered the mission successful. They did their bombing, and they're heading back. And when they're heading back, that barrage of planes got attacked by over a dozen German warplanes. Now, warplanes were different back then. They could only carry so much ammunition. They could only fly so far. They were limited in what they could do back then. But these dozen German warplanes come out, and they start attacking these planes, and they got Charlie Brown's plane pushed aside, and they started shooting at his plane. And then finally they had to stop the attack on there, and Charlie Brown and his crew had gotten separated from all the other planes, so they're flying along. And as they're flying, the engines were damaged. They were running at about 40% capacity is all they could have for power. Their oxygen system was also damaged, so they couldn't fly high. They had to fly very low so that they could have enough oxygen that they could breathe. Their hydraulic system was damaged, very limited control of the plane. The electrical system was also all shot up. The back rudder was half blown off from the attack. The rear left elevator was half blown off from the attack. And these guys are still going. And they're trying everything they can to fly this plane, but also they themselves had gotten shot up pretty bad. All the crew had been shot one way or another. The gunman, if you're familiar with those planes, they got a big glass ball underneath where he sits in there. He was completely killed, obviously. Some men were shot in the foot, the leg. One had a bullet through his eye. Charlie himself, flying the plane, had a bullet shot through his shoulder. And they're flying along. And they're going across German territory. And there's a man on the ground by the name of Franz Stigler. He's on the ground, refueling his plane, getting fresh bullets put in his plane. He had 27, what do they call them, ace victories, they call them. So he shot down 27 of the planes, and he wanted more. While he's on the ground, he's trying to pull a bullet from a U.S. plane that was shot through his radiator. He's trying to get the bullet out of there, and he hears this U.S. bomber coming by. And Franz quickly jumps in his plane, and he takes off, gets up in the air, and he knew one thing, I want number 28. That was his goal. He knew his plane could easily overheat, but he wanted that victory. So he flies his plane up, and he quickly was able to catch up to this bomber, and he comes up on this bomber, and he flies around, saws the plane riddled with bullets, saw everything going on there. He comes right around. He locks his gun on Charlie, the pilot of the plane, and then something amazing happened. Instead of going in for the kill, he flies up on the left side of the bomber plane. Charlie had no idea what he was doing. So they're flying along, and this pilot was trying to get him over towards a place in Germany where they would at least take care of him. But Charlie didn't know what he was doing. Well, then he thought, okay, I'll try and fly him over towards Sweden area where it's neutral territory. So Charlie told his gunner, he said, point your gun. Most of his guns weren't working. I think all were out about two. And he said, point it right at him. So they pointed his gun right at this pilot. He said, but don't shoot. So they're flying along, and then he finally realized he's trying to escort him and help him. He wasn't going to shoot. So he finally escorts him out into Allied territory off the coast. And then he looked over at Charlie. He saluted him and flew back. Stigler flew back to his base, and he never said a word to anybody about what happened because he was afraid he'd get court-martialed. Charlie Brown was able to land his plane safely over on Allied territory. Obviously, these men thought about each other through the years after the war ended. Finally, the German, Franz Stigler, finally found where Charlie was. He had gone back to West Virginia, actually. He was living there. In 1987, these two men met at an airbase in Alabama. And when they met, they had talked a few times over the phone. Charlie went up to Stigler and he said, "Why didn't you shoot me out?" He said, "Why did you not fire?" And he said, "I was going to." That's what he wanted. He said, "But I saw the condition of your plane." He said, "I flew around." He said, "I come out, and when I looked at you through the windshield," he goes, "I could see in your eyes that fear." And he said, "I couldn't do it." Compassion overtook him. And instead of shooting him down, he helped him. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you've been through in life. It doesn't matter how deep your sins are. It doesn't matter how terrible your relationship is at home. It doesn't matter how destroyed your family is. It doesn't matter how deep you've gotten to sin. It doesn't matter that you're living in Kensington. God will never, ever let you crash. He's never going to shoot you down and take that final shot. God is going to do everything he can to let you know, "I love you and I want you to be safe." Charlie could have taken that one shot at that warplane. Don't know what that would have done. But he trusted eventually that man in that plane, that German soldier, that he was going to keep him safe. God will always lead you to safety. Compassion is deep sympathy for another one's suffering. It involves understanding of the pain that somebody else is going through. God will always have compassion and love for you in your situation. Never forget that. God can do something oftentimes we can't. God can feel your pain. When you're going through whatever that is, God can feel that pain. God can understand what you're going through, and God knows how to help. I think of Jesus when he was on that cross. He's up there and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what that was? That was 100% love, 100% compassion for mankind. Jesus took on every problem on this world and said, "I can take this." Not because he wanted to. Can I say that? He did it because he had compassion on each and every person on this earth. That was his driving force. Compassion does what love doesn't. I'll tell you another story. When I had gone to Haiti that one time for a short visit, helping them teach down there, we got into Port-au-Prince, and we stayed, I think it was Life Ministries. We stayed in their compound there. And when I got there, I forget the pastor's name that was there, but we were talking, and he told me, he said, "Yeah, just this past Saturday," he said, "they killed a man right outside this wall." He showed me the wall. We walked over there. He was a thief. And he said the natives took him, beat him, killed him. That next Sunday morning, well, this was Saturday, Sunday morning, they came to church, and he said we were in the church service. And he said, "Those people said he deserved to die. He was a thief." And he said, "No, he didn't deserve to die." He said, "That same compassion that Jesus had on you, he had on that man there. He didn't deserve to die." Jesus had compassion for him too. Says here, Psalms 103. "Blessed be the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all diseases, who redeemeth life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." That's the compassion God has on all these things. "Who satisfies the mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sins and our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You see, God's compassion reaches in, he knows who we are, he understands us. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as to keep a covenant with those that remember his commandments and do them. Do you see the loving compassion that God has for us? He doesn't care how far we've gone. God loves us. It says here in Psalm 78, I just want to read these two verses. It says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, meaning God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away, did not stir up all his wrath. God's compelled by compassion to have mercy upon us, even though we don't deserve that mercy that God's given to us. But let's remember something about that compassion. That compassion is not only God having compassion on us. We can't live this life of just accepting the fact that God's merciful to me. God loves me. God has compassion upon me. God instills that compassion in the hearts of each and every one of us in this room, that we can take that gift and share it with others and use it with other people. I want to read from Colossians chapter 3. Talking about us here. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in the hearts of the Lord. That same compassion, love that God had for us, we share with each other. It says, Psalms 133, famous verse, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For a church functioning together, it takes love. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. And it takes compassion. You know, what do we do as we walk through this life? I can just use my life as an example. I always use the example of stairs or a ladder. You know, you come to the Lord and you're on one step. You begin to learn something in your life or get rid of something in your life and you climb another step. That's the way it's been for me. It's been a gradual thing of growth. And you begin to take these steps more and more to serve the Lord. We grow. What do we do when we've grown and we're up here and we look back and we see our brother or sister that's a ways down that ladder? How do we compute that? Do we look at them and say, oh, come on, just get up here? we take out our sawzall and we can just clip off the end of that ladder? They'll find somewhere else. They'll be okay. Or maybe you're the one down there and you're looking up going, who do you think you are? You know, up there. Maybe we take out our sawzall and cut off that end and say, there. Yeah, now they're gone out of the picture. Or do we have compassion upon each other and help each other and say, hey, brother, I want to help you up here. How do I get there? Do we have compassion on each other? We can look at somebody and say, why? But compassion will take the time to understand their heart, and then we can help them. When we can understand where somebody's at and why they're at wherever they are, we can have compassion to help them. But if we don't take the time, we just look and say, there they are, and we go on, it's up to them. That's not compassion. Remember, everything, I only went through a fraction of the stories and the things about Jesus with his, where it specifically says he had compassion. And then there's story after story after story where the compassion is there, but it doesn't specifically say he had compassion. And he cared about every aspect of those people. He cared about their healing. He cared about their soul. He cared about their sins. He had compassion on everything. And he was willing to help them where they were at. In closing, I just want to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. For God, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. It tells us in the book of Psalms, it says, mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. 1 Peter 3:8 says, and finally, be all of one mind, having compassion of one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, a blessing. You remember the story where Jesus was teaching? He was inside of a house, and there's a man out there that wanted to be healed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get inside the house. There's too many people there that couldn't get in. He wanted to get in. Look at how that story went. These brothers saw that need and said, we got to help him. So much so that they devised a way to get him up on the roof and literally tore this roof apart, destroyed this guy's home, and lowered him down so that he could sit at the feet of Jesus where he was healed. That's compassion. Let's work together to take our brother, our sister, and do whatever we have to, even if we got to tear the roof off. I know we just built this one. To set that person down at Jesus' feet because we have compassion.